Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Lasagna, frittata, cannelloni, pasta. Lasagna, frittata, cannelloni, mate, pasta. Hello, and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I remain Alistair, George Williams, from Leigh Birchall.
Isn't it interesting that when you're sick, you know, and you get that husky voice, that's a little bit sexier, a bit more attractive. Yes. But when you're sick and any other part of your body is diseased, you know, if you've got that, you know, because it's because you've got that mucus in your throat. But if you've got mucus in any other part of your body, that's considered very unattractive.
But do you think that maybe the disease does that? The disease gives you the husky voice as a way of getting you to people to kiss you.
That would be really interesting if that was part of the replicating strategy. Yeah. And then there would be this evolutionary pressure for diseases to make you more and more kissable.
Yeah.
That would certainly make the new strands of COVID when they were coming out, when they were announcing the new ways in which this one makes you absolutely irresistible.
Everybody, I'm wanting to kiss. This is Dan Andrews. Now, I'm going to want to kiss you, and I want you to lock away yourselves, your daughters, your sons.
And you're going to want to kiss me.
Any official.
I get it.
And
that would be terrible as well. And what a scoop for the disease it would be to get Dan Andrews, because he was doing those daily presses, right? We'd all be seeing him in those press conferences.
People lunging
getting more
at him.
And more sexy as the disease took hold.
People lunging and at him, being, trying to kiss him live on live TV.
Yep. Victorians, the people of Victoria lining up.
Security guards shooting them as they're midair.
As they leap, lips first.
Shooting them right in the lips. Completely disabling them.
Shoot the lips. Shoot out the lips.
Shoot out his lip. Put those lips down. Put the lips down. Put the lips down on
the
ground.
Keep your lips where I can see them. Oh, yes. I think that's funny, Alistair.
Right.
I think it's sexy COVID. I think it's a great, we could do a, you know, people love to do a porn parody of an existing film.
Yeah.
What about a porn parody of an existing disease?
Yeah.
Of an existing pandemic, porn-demic, we'll call
sexy
it.
Sexy COVID.
Or?
Oh, and you know what? I've written COVID with an E. So it's COVID. Like, you know, like it's French.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Ooh,
that's a good. You know, that would be a great title for this softcore porno. COVID.
Yeah. It does sound sexy.
It does sound a bit European, you know? Did you ever see that thing where they would sometimes. Because I never bought like a porn DVD or whatever, but I did live with a guy who did. And he had a few that were like European, and somebody had redone the voices,
had dubbed
the voices into English, but not just the voices, also like not just the speaking,
the
voices,
grunting,
also
and stuff.
The moaning and everything. Like. Really? That would have
English
been
moaning.
The perfect job for an impersonator, somebody who could mimic voices, you know, so that they didn't have to like, but I guess they were like, no, we're doing it all. We're going to keep it consistent. Yeah. It'll be easier. You can just go, oh yeah, yes, that is good.
Now, look, I don't know what the budget is like on these porn redubs, right? But maybe it's just a question of like, look, we're going to get you in and I don't want to have to do any fucking editing, any chopping this up to put the voice that here and then the moaning there and then matching the levels and stuff. We're going to do this all in one take. You're going to do the whole thing and I'm going to need you to do the sound effects as well of the of the genitals.
Oh, yeah, because I don't have to
as
use
you go,
any...
doing it all live.
Oh. So we're going to give you like a bowl of pudding and...
Is it a bowl of peas?
I said a bowl of pudding.
Ah, bowl of pudding.
A bowl of pudding and a banana.
And another bowl of pudding.
And you just do, you just match up the...
You just go to work on that pudding.
Sex Foley?
Sex Foley. Yeah.
How do you spell Foley? F-O-L-E-Y?
E-Y. Yeah. It must exist. It must exist.
Yeah, no, but I think that's Sex a fun Foley. Sketch.
Sure.
Oh, we only got one take. You know, do you still punch a lettuce? Is that what they do? Hit a lettuce? Slap a lettuce? Andy, what's
sorry
that?
About
a,
my dog,
is
everybody.
A, is that an eagle?
Yeah, must be. Must be a night eagle. Banjo, stop it. Stop it. No.
It's crazy when the joy of your life like that starts acting out.
Oh, the joy of my life. Yeah.
You know,
oh, he makes everything so good and easy all the time.
It must leave you with such a conflicting feeling about a dog that you love with so much of your heart suddenly acts out in such a way that you're like is contrary
right.
to your actual regular feelings. You know?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's amazing how well you've described my situation vis-a-vis this dog. Sex Foley, great. Now, before we started the podcast, Alistair, we were talking about babies smiling.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that thing about, have you had this where like, you're like, oh, he started smiling and then people say, well, you know, that's just gas.
Yeah.
When they do that, you're like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks. Thanks a lot. You know, being a parent of a very young child is very difficult. What are the small rays of light? Is the child smiling? It's great that you're able to tell me that that's just a gastrointestinal effect that is not to be, you know, that I shouldn't derive any joy from that. And indeed, I should go back through my memories of the joy that I've already derived from that and out of a sense of moral obligation, erase that from my... from my consciousness.
And then just the knowledge that some smiles could be gas. Should I just erase all smile joy from my life?
You never know. Cause you never know when a smile is actually just gas. You know, are you, is that a, what's that saying? Is that a something in your pocket or are you that, pleased to see?
Yeah. Is that a gun in your pocket or is that a bag
is
of
that
gas
a gun in your pocket?
In your pocket?
Or do you just have gas? Is it just a...
Is that a helium balloon in your pocket?
Or are you just pleased to see me?
Oh, is that what's the metal gas canister? A metal gas canister? Is that a natural gas canister?
All forms of happiness, it turns out, are an illusion.
It's sort of gas-based
anyway,
puppetry,
I just think
isn't it?
The people who feel the need to tell you that.
Andy, it's sort of gas-based butt puppetry, isn't it?
Gas-based butt puppetry?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yes, gas-based butt puppetry. It's your that butt puppeteer with using gas to puppeteer your face.
Ah.
Now we know that methane can make the face smile.
Yes.
In the butt now.
We do.
Could you put a little bit of NOS in there and create a frown?
NOS. is it all the gases? Each gas has its own emotion.
You know, get some argon.
Neon.
I see. I was going for a noble argon. Gas as well. That's to give you a noble look on your face.
Well, I think they're some of the most prominent gases.
You know, well, you can't say gases without saying asses.
No, that's another good point. Yes. I assess asses.
I assess asses?
Assess.
You can't say
asses.
I assess ass assassinations without saying ass four times.
Four times. That's something I maintain. I've always maintained that. I've always maintained
I'm
it.
Continuing
and the cost
to maintain
of the maintenance
it.
Is really starting to wear me down.
It is ruining me.
But it's also, I might have already said this on the podcast, but it's also like the people who say, your dog doesn't really love you, right? It's just because you feed your dog, right?
Yeah.
And you look after it and you know do stuff for it. If you stopped feeding the dog and treating it well, it wouldn't love you anymore. And you're like, well, yes.
Yes. Your friends don't really love you. It's because you have fun with them and sometimes
give them
presents.
Yeah, it's just because you're nice to them.
It's only because you spend time with them that is enjoyable. And you exchange stories and they allow you to let out some of your problems and you their problems in a sort of...
It's not real.
It's not real.
You know, if you stopped doing all those things...
Yes.
Started
you'll realise that actually...
Being cruel to
your
them.
Friends are very selfish in that they won't reciprocate feelings towards you if you act mean towards them. If you withhold any love from them. People are insane.
Is that anything? Is that a sketch in some
way?
Yeah,
I think so. I think if you...
Yes, good.
You withhold kindness in good times.
Affection.
From friends.
Intimacy.
You realize.
Honesty.
Did you say a policy?
Oh, yeah, a policy. If you withhold a policy.
I'm withholding my
I said
policy.
Honesty. Honesty.
No, but
honesty is the best policy. They do say that.
Yes, and so is that the policy that you're withholding?
Yes, correct. Honesty.
This guy is sorry. I dropped my phone. 1 second. Hang on.
We get back up. It's apparently,
what happened, Alistair? Did your very precarious recording setup that seems to? Are you do you like to balance things on top of things over there?
Yes.
It does seem that things are very often becoming unplugged or knocked off or lost.
Yes, a lot of that. A lot of that, Andy.
This is my.
Oh, it's
I have
time
a new
to be
character,
real.
Right? This is my new character.
Yeah?
Right? This is my new character. My new character is I'm the guy who developed Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And I was responsible for inventing the technology that allows your Bluetooth headphones to connect to the device that is the furthest away from you in the house instead of the one that, say, is right near you that you're holding in your hand. So, you know, it wasn't very easy to develop this technology. But you know how, like, you might have connected your headphones to your laptop or your iPad, right, once, okay? But at the moment, your iPad is closed and it's in your backpack, right, 20 meters away down the other end of the house.
Yeah.
You've got your phone out, right? In your hand, you've just turned on Bluetooth on your phone, okay? You're holding in your hand there and you've got the music app open, okay? And you turn on your headphones.
Yeah.
I'm the guy who invented the technology to allow it to detect which one's closer and to connect to the iPad so that you've got to then go and get the iPad and open it up and turn off Bluetooth on there before you're able to reconnect it to your headphones.
Yes,
so that's what I do.
Yeah. I mean, there probably is a bit of software in there that might be doing that for some reason that you don't quite understand, like a prioritizing kind of thing.
Yes, of course there's a reason, Alistair. Of course there's a reason. No, I think it. I suspect it's probably the one I've most recently connected to or something like that. But it's still very frustrating. And I think they should change the system.
Could you stop
whatever it is,
using your Bluetooth
to make it
headphones
proximity based
with other things other than your phone?
Alistair, I didn't bring this to you for you to offer me sensible suggestions.
No, but I mean, just why don't you change your behavior and make
well,
it better?
Well, you forget, Alistair, that I'm in character as the guy who invented this technology, so I'm not going to do any of those things because I think it's good when it connects
to the
most distant
device. Could that guy change his behavior? Isn't that what you're asking? And so do you want me to pass on a message to him?
Yeah, if that's okay. Now I'm Andy again.
Okay.
But I can't talk directly to the other guy because he's also
you're both
we occupy
of him.
The same
that's
body.
Right.
I can't be him simultaneously.
He can't hear it.
He can't hear it when I'm me. He can't hear me saying because he doesn't control the ears when I'm me.
That's right.
All right. So I'm going to turn into him again and you'll tell from the change in my voice.
That sounds good.
Here I am, it's me. I'm the guy who invented that thing about Bluetooth.
Hello, guy who invented the Bluetooth thing.
Sorry, I blacked out for a second.
That's okay. You're in a bit of a nutty professor kind of problem. And the guy who is also you was wondering if maybe you could change your behavior. Is that what... Wait. Can you change back into the other guy so I can ask Andy something?
Yeah, hello, it's me, Andy, again.
This is Andy? No, this isn't the other guy saying he's Andy.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I'm very honest. Honesty is the best policy.
Yes. Now, Andy, what did you want me to say to the guy? You wanted me to say to change his behavior, or did you want me to say to change his Bluetooth technology so that it connects to the one that you always want to, so somehow it reads your mind?
Look, I mean, to be honest, Alistair, I don't think I came into this looking for solutions. I think I just wanted an opportunity to express my feelings. So if you could just...
So in many ways,
you know,
he's giving you a gift.
I don't think I...
Do you want me to go...
What's that?
He's giving you a gift of the opportunity of being, you know, of self-expression.
That's right.
Do you want
he's given me the gift of having something mundane to complain about.
Do you want me to...
It's become the framework of my life.
Do you want me to tell him thank you from you?
Yeah, that's what I want. Okay, here I am. I'm the Bluetooth guy again.
Hello, Bluetooth guy. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's me, Alistair. I'm again speaking for Andy, who is the other persona who resides within your body. And he wanted to say thank you for all the Bluetooth designs that you've made and the way in which they have helped him express himself. In more easily, in a way that is complainy.
Thank you very much. That's why I got into this business.
To make people complain.
See. Yes, that's right.
That is actually why you got into this business?
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to make give people, I believe that if we can have minor frustrations that allow us to vent our energy and our
so these are
irate
frustrations about miners and their venting of energy.
That's right. That's right.
Sort
small
of like
things.
Coal and
coal seam gas, coal seam fracking. Gas. Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, miners, MINORS, meaning young people, and their venting of energy. And by that I mean farting, which causes them to smile because we all know that's the only source of emotion.
I don't know if that does a real smile, though. I mean, Bluetooth guy. There's, Bluetooth D.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be great if you, if it went the other way as well, you know, and you thought somebody was farting a lot, but it turned out that they were just smiling.
They were just happy.
Yeah, those aren't real farts.
That's not really a fart. He's just happy. He's just doing that to enjoy himself.
Yes.
He's just getting some
yes,
joy.
Yes, indeed. A modicum.
A modicum.
A modicum.
A modicum.
M-O-D-I-C-U-M.
A modicum.
Modicum.
Where it's like a mode, like A-M-O-D-E con.
Mm.
I have no idea what it is. I mean, a la modicon. That's That's a little piece of a little image of ice cream, scoop of ice cream that you can put next to other things. That's a la modicon.
A la mode. Now, that means served with ice cream. Is that right?
I think so. I think I saw that recently where you have like a piece of pie a la mode.
It's a very fancy way of saying it, isn't it, with ice cream there?
Yeah.
And it probably means, I imagine it translates in, God, that dog, I love it so much. I have such a good relationship with it. It makes everything easier and better in my life, especially now that we've recently had some earthworks done at our place. There's a lot of exposed dirt and it's just started to rain. So there's now a lot of, the dog's always getting dirty.
Yeah.
And now every time it comes into the house, you have to either wash its feet or mop the floor. And that's another great thing.
Yeah. No, that's good, isn't it? I mean, it's, you know, when you love something, the opportunity to do more things with it is a gift.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's a welcome.
Yeah.
That's very welcome.
So
I'm just going to go and get the dog, Alistair. I can still hear you, but I'm going to put down the microphone for a second.
So a la mode means, especially in North America, with ice cream. But it's a French expression that means to be in fashion, you know, up to date, you know, in a fashionable or modern style, as is, I guess, you know, eating something with ice cream. Nothing feels like more now, you know, it brings you into the now than a scoop of ice cream to go with whatever you're having. Mm.
Well, I mean, I think that this gives me an idea for the future of fashion, because we're in the world of fast fashion, Alistair. And, you know, clothes that...
There's no faster fashion than a fashion that can melt.
Exactly right. I'm glad you're with me on this.
Is this where you were going?
There's no faster fashion than... Yes. And this is a perfect... Maybe not perfect. I was going to say this is a perfect application for our room temperature ice cream idea.
Yeah.
But... No, that's not going to work because actually room temperature ice cream wouldn't melt. So
maybe in the sun.
It wouldn't achieve what we want. It still has to be cold ice cream that can melt, but you can also turn it into clothes. And what's great about that is that there's none of that build up of waste or whatever. You can just, it just runs down the gutters and then you put on a new ice cream.
And it just runs into the oceans. Liquid clothes.
Exactly.
And it would finally give fish an opportunity to wear clothes.
Finally.
I wonder,
are there any fish that wear clothes? That's a great question.
That is a great question.
It's a great thing to investigate. Think.
Okay, let's name some fish. Yep. Okay, sharks.
Now, there's that... There's that
sharks look like they would wear a vest.
I completely see it. But there's that octopus that hides in a coconut.
Yes.
And there are crabs that I believe have seaweed
fish.
On their backs.
Yes, Andy's both of Andy's suggestions have been so fish-like.
Alistair, I am homing in on it. Okay. I am triangulating I feel like I'm getting closer to fish.
I didn't know you were trying to get close to fish. I just thought you were shooting for the board and hitting the wall.
I'm finding my range.
I didn't know this was something you were improving at, Andy. I thought that you just didn't have the skills to hit the mark, and I was trying to help you. Remember, Andy, the board is over here. Fish.
Yes.
They're kind of long. They have fins. Yes, you've hit the water. Very good. But the ocean is big, Andy.
Yes, all right.
Obviously, I have...
I wonder if the sea level would go down if you ate all the... if you pulled out all the fish. It would have to,
do you think there's
it?
A chance it would go up?
I guess not.
Like,
yeah.
Because, like, I mean, I guess we don't know what the side effects would be of all the fish being gone. What do the fish do anything that might cause water to leave the ocean? You know, I mean, whales do a lot of splashing.
Yeah.
A lot of the splashing would probably get absorbed by the dirt You know?
Yeah.
But they're not fish.
And, you know, I've noticed that when my children are splashing in the bath, the water ends up out of the bath. Mm. Does the splashing of the whales cause the water to end up out of the ocean?
Yeah.
We don't know.
You know, and they got, there's a lot of fish, you know, and if that means a lot of splashing.
Mm.
And let's just correct, do a bit of a guesstimation. If each fish, let's say there's 2 billion yeah, fish.
Okay. That's a great estimate, yeah, by the way.
And each one of them
This is going to be really good for my guesstimates show. I'm going to have a thing around where you have to guess how many fish are there in the ocean. 2 billion is way too low.
So per year.
Way too low.
So per year, I reckon, they each splash out maybe, would you say, a cup of water out of the ocean. Right? That seems, okay, that seems conservative, doesn't it?
Cups. That's 2 billion cups of water a year. Well, now, a cup, we know that's a quarter of a litre.
Yeah.
So let's say that's 500 million litres a year. Yeah. What is that? That's 500 gigalitres. No, it's half a gigalitre.
Half a gigalitre. So that's it probably would go up.
It's not nothing. It's not nothing.
It's not nothing. I mean, it's probably more than 2 billion fish.
Well, no. Now you just need to ask yourself, is the volume of a fish
bigger than,
greater or than lesser a than a than a cup? And I say probably. On average, it is.
Oh, but think, oh, but then you've got to think, really think about fish, all the splashing you would do trying to get the fish out. I didn't account for that.
See, this is why all these things are so difficult to estimate. This is why science.
You see, I made a huge mistake in my calculations. I didn't account. You know, there's some, and then also all of the water.
This is what,
that gets,
by the way, this is what all modeling is. Yeah, this is what all.
It's exactly what it is. Okay, but then you got to think about all the clothes, like. All the water that's absorbed by the clothes of the people who were catching all the fish to take them out.
Mm, that's true.
This is going to probably, maybe everybody's going to have to be involved. So how many people would you say there are? Let's say there's 100 million people in the world. That seems like a lot.
This is... Now, that might not be exactly accurate. It's a nice, easy number to multiply. Yeah, so let's say
give
it
or
is.
Take, you know, 3 or 4 people.
Man, 100 million people in the world, that still sounds like a fuckload, doesn't it? That still sounds. In a way, that feels like a lot more than 8 billion. 100 million.
Can we hit 8?
That. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I can't get my head around how big a billion is. And people do diagrams and stuff to try and help you comprehend the size of $1 billion or something, or they'll say some explanation like, well, if you started counting when Christ was born, you wouldn't finish getting to a billion until after the sun runs out of gas or something.
Is that true?
I'd be like, I still don't know. I just made that up.
I know, but they don't know how fast I'm doing it. And they go, 100 billion, 255, 6, 100 billion, 255, 7, 100 billion, 257, 8. No, you're not going to tell me that's going to take that long.
Is that what you think counting is?
Yeah, that's counting.
1 billion, 255, 6.
Yeah.
What number is that?
1,255,6.
That's not a number, Al.
There's a 6 at the end.
What?
I've developed a new counting system to get myself there before.
Well, why didn't you say?
But you understood what it meant.
Why didn't you say that? I don't think I do. I think if you asked me to write down 1,255,6,
okay, write it down. Write it down right now, and I'll write it down, and then we'll both say our numbers at the exact same time. Okay.
Hang on. I mean, I don't have a pencil.
I said 1,255,6. Is that what I said?
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, that's what you said.
It does seem more insane right now. Let's write it down. Okay.
So we're trying to write down what that number looks like. Fucking hell, I put the dog down and he's just... Okay, 1 billion. Hang on, I've got to have to erase.
Erase it, Andy. Just
it's really difficult. 1,255,000.
Okay, and we're gonna read them out. We're going to read them out at the same time, starting from the...
Are we reading out all the digits that we've written
all
down?
All the digits we've written down from the left side to the right side.
Okay, here we go.
One.
Ready? 1,0.
Wait, you did right. Okay,
0.
Okay, wait. Let's do it together.
Are we reading them out simultaneously?
Yes, simultaneously. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
2, 1.
1. 0
0
0
0
0
0
0
0
0
0 0
2
5
5
5
slash 6
This is one of the most bizarre and I've got to say probably bad bits of content we've ever committed to. To indelible digital.
Okay, so look, Andy, I've developed a way of counting up to a billion that won't take all the way until when the sun explodes. It's where you combine some of the ones together. You go, oh, well, look, that's actually two of them.
But, Alistair, yeah. I mean, the number there, for a start, and I hate to say it, the number's it's higher than a billion.
No,
so
no,
you're trying to make counting to a billion faster. Why?
I think I.
How could that possibly be achieved?
No, you're right.
By including a number that is beyond a billion.
I think initially I must have said like 100 million or something like that. But I think that you heard a billion, and then I went
Alistair,
with
you. Didn't
I went with yours?
You didn't. No, you didn't.
Well, I'm trying to count to a 10 billion, before the sun explodes. Some of us.
Okay.
You know, shoot for the moon.
I still don't think this helps.
You know that thing, shoot for the moon and you might make it among the stars?
Yeah.
You know, like if you miss, you'll be among the stars, but you'll be really far away from the stars still as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, shoot for the moon and if you miss, you'll float endlessly.
Endlessly.
In the cold nothingness
of space. You'll actually miss forever.
Yeah.
You could...
You're going to miss the stars as well.
Yeah, you're not going to miss. Yeah, right? You're not. Like, among the stars is not actually on a star. And even being on a star is not that good.
No, I'd argue we're more among the stars right now.
Yeah.
Before you've done anything.
I would say just stay on Earth. Don't shoot for the moon.
Stay on Earth. Yeah. Yeah.
Shoot for whatever's closest to you. You know, shoot for the fork. And if you miss, you can just pick it up with your hands.
Shoot for the stars, even if you miss, you'll crash into the moon. You'll explode on the surface of the moon.
With all those, but then you'll have tardigrades as friends.
tardigrades.
Remember that?
I would love a, you know, I want a fruit-sized bacteria.
A fruit?
And I would love a dog-sized tardigrade. You
know, I would love to be able to.
Because they look adorable.
I would like a fruit-sized tardigrade that you just open up and there's like lychee-like meat inside.
I bet there would be, though.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it would be like inside a
tardigrade. I can't imagine a single bug tasting good. I can taste like not sweet or nutty. Like, no, I could picture nutty, but not sweet and delicious, like in like refreshing.
Yeah, I don't know if there are any refreshing bugs.
Yeah. What is, I mean, oh, wait, there is that honey ant that has like a big honey butt.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
You're absolutely right.
You see, as soon as
there's always an exception, isn't there?
That's why we have to keep talking, Andy, because every time we keep talking, we stumble on something that is absolutely incorrect.
That big honey butt ant.
Mm. Wet ass.
Oh, yes.
Ass.
Have I talked about how different flies are from bees?
I don't think so. I mean, they're really different.
Yeah, they're really different. Like, on one level, extremely similar, right?
For you, they're both similar fish, size, right?
They're both fish. They're very similar. You know, they get around in the same way. You know, same kind of eyes and all that shit.
Do they have same eyes?
And yet the fly, solitary, right? Lives on shit.
Yeah.
Lives on literal feces. Bees, they're like, we're a community. We pollinate flowers. We eat sugar. And we make honey. Flies, I spread disease. I lay my disgusting babies.
They're self-employed.
They are. Yeah. You know, I think they're the libertarians.
But where do you take like wasps in there? Like, where do you put wasps in there?
Wasps are like fucking a completely different thing.
Like, because like, entirely, as far as elegance goes, and if you're ranking all three, it does go fly, bee, wasp.
The wasp is even more elegant. Yeah. You're right. But the wasp is a true psychopath.
But yeah, the wasp is like the guy in that movie with the white business cards.
American Psycho. Yeah.
Yeah.
Real wasp mindset.
Yeah, they got a real wasp. Wasp brain.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the other thing about the bee is that the bee can, you know, will sacrifice its life to save the colony. But the wasp is just like, no, I will just kill and kill again.
Yeah, and also is like a bee is kind of furry, right? But I think a wasp is kind of like, it's got like an exo
sleek
hardness. Yeah, it's like got like a car paneling. It's armor, you know.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Is there a honey wasp?
It's a good question.
Yeah, because I mean, our initial thought is no, right?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I wonder if, like, maybe it's this false dichotomy sort of thing, where as soon as you start collecting honey or nectar or shit, they're just like, oh, you're a bee. Even if you're actually a wasp, everybody just thinks you're a bee. So the wasps can't win.
Brachygastra mellifica, commonly known as the Mexican honey wasp.
Here it is.
Is a neotropical social wasp. It can be found in North America. It's one of the few wasp species that produces honey. It is also considered a delicacy in some cultures in Mexico. Now think about this, Andy. Think about this for a second. Mm. The honey rat.
It's a really good idea. Is it still a pretty disgusting rat?
Yeah.
But it makes really nice honey.
Yeah.
I think this is a really funny idea. I think, and, you know, I guess people are presumably selling the honey, the rat honey, and telling people it's bee honey, right? You don't want people to know that this is honey from rats.
Yeah.
They're scuttling around, their filthy paws. Yeah.
Oh, they just
really good. They walk through these
giant flowers, and they just collect like pollen on their greasy, oily skin.
Yeah, and then they go back to the rat nest,
yeah,
and the queen rat licks it off their bodies and spits it directly into the honey jar,
into a mason jar.
That's how they're trained. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, maybe it turns out that all honey has and always has been made by rats. And the entire idea of bees was made up by some sort of marketing group.
I mean, it is the closest thing.
What's a way that we can sell this?
The real life closest thing there is to like a ghost or whatever, you know, like something that can fly around and is, I don't know. That's as far as I could do it.
That's all I need to hear, yeah, Alistair.
And that's all you're going to hear, you fucking cunt.
Yes, good.
So you can
get rid of them with smoke. That's another thing that you can do with ghosts. And
I guess you could make a ghost disappear because you can't see it in the smoke, right?
Could be.
And they don't disturb the smoke.
Or is it like, are ghosts like lasers where like you can see them more if there's smoke, like in Entrapment?
Ooh, that's a very good question, Andy.
Thanks.
I didn't get that.
Andy was saying was that ghosts might be like lasers. And so I think Andy was suggesting that I guess ghosts emit energy, which I guess if you could see them, they are emitting some energy because that's what your eye's picking up. And so,
yeah.
I guess it can't be entirely entirely wrong. Now, Andy, we technically have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ideas. Would you like to go to 3 words from a listener?
I think that's a wise choice. I'm sick. We're both very tired.
How do you know I'm tired?
The listeners have been through a lot today.
Well,
Alistair, because I know you.
You know me.
I know
you. Know me. Oh, we got 3 words from a listener. Now, today's listener is Thomas Ambrose.
Thomas Ambrose.
I think Thomas Ambrose,
beautiful creature,
once told us a story about listening to our podcast in like some kind of military hole.
A military grade hole.
A military grade hole.
You know, this hole was invented for use by the military.
Yeah, and wasn't allowed to be laughing or listening to things. You know, was risking
Court-martialing. And a dishonorable discharge.
Dishonorable discharge. What do you think?
It really sounds
sexual,
doesn't it?
What do you think is the most dishonorable discharge that the body produces? It probably is poop, isn't it? The poo.
Yeah, or specifically diarrhea, maybe.
Oh, diarrhea, yes. Yes. Oh, what about, have you ever heard of like digestive stuff that is kind of poo-like but that comes out through the mouth?
I don't know if I have, Alistair, and I sort of was happy to keep it that way, but, you know, is this a thing where you're vomiting stuff from even further down in the intestinal tract? So this is past the stomach.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I don't love it.
Yeah, but do you think that would be the most dishonorable if that exists?
It doesn't sound good.
Yeah, great. Okay, great. Well, now, do you want to try to guess what Thomas Ambrose's 3 words are?
Okay. The first word is ridgeback.
Ridgeback. You know what? You're close in a way. Because this is a two-part word, and the first part does have an I as the vowel, and the second part does have an A as the vowel, and it does end in a K. You ready? It's Think Tank. Okay.
Think Tank. Okay. Think Tank. Holiday special. I'm going to guess the next two words in a big group.
Yeah, well, a big group of two.
Yeah, that's right. It's a big two.
I mean, it's a
you
big
know how people
two.
Yeah, say yeah, yeah. It's hot, but it's a dry heat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, this is two, but it's a big two.
Yeah, it's the wind chill. Yeah, so big two, big group of two, the smallest thing a group could be. Well, no, the second word is finally. And so it's
think tank.
Finally. And the third word.
Ends.
Ends what?
Ends.
Oh, my gosh, Andy. What do you think Thomas Ambrose, sitting in his military hole, is wishing upon us? Well, it's not that. It's speaks.
Think tank finally speaks.
Yeah, now imagine if the tank itself could speak.
Mm.
You know, I mean, if these walls
could talk. If these walls could...
When you think of the tank, do you picture a water tank? Because I constantly picture a water tank.
I picture, I guess, a big boiler.
A big boiler?
You know, with rivets down the sides. You know, yeah, like a big, you know, big metal tank. But, you know, like they would have as the boiler of an old steam train.
Right.
I guess I'm probably picturing what it is in the logo of Two at the Think Tank.
Yeah, right.
I imagine. Yeah, yeah. That's how good my imagination is.
I picture it as like a water tank, like the one that you drink, sort of unfiltered water that has fallen from our polluted skies.
Yeah, sure. Where does your water come from, Alistair?
It comes from the catchment, and then it goes through a filtration process to kill bugs and stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah. With chemicals.
Yeah.
With disgusting chemicals.
Are they disgusting?
Not like me. Not like me. I drink beautiful natural chemicals. Like bird shit.
Long life, Andy. You know what I was just picturing just then? I was picturing that I was talking to you as a ghost. And that you had already died, and I was making fun of you for it. Oh, yes, old long life Andy Matthews, eh? Died in his early 40s. Yes, oh, you should definitely give me advice on what kind of water I should drink.
I love it. I love it that I've died and you come to my grave in order to be able to still have these passive-aggressive conversations with me, trying to make a point.
Some
to
kind
my,
of point
my
doesn't
dead body.
Matter. Doesn't matter.
Oh, you're talking to, I guess, and my family, maybe my beloved, you know, grieving widow, and you're saying, I just can't believe he's gone. Who will I now? How will he know? He was wrong about all these things.
I can't believe he's gone. Who would have thought that someone who doesn't care about his well-being in any way would have passed, you know? And didn't have the wherewithal to think about his family's future.
And a scientist tells you that actually they've developed the technology to extract the part of my brain that is capable of feeling guilt and keep that alive, just that,
yeah.
In a jar, connected up to a single ear, and that you could continue to make it feel slightly bad about things.
Connected to a bionic ear that I can connect my phone to, and just at any time I have a thought, I go, hello, Andy, it's me. Are you still there? I was just thinking about
just
how annoyed I am that you died and that you've done this.
You can
to
harangue me.
You've done this to me. Obviously, everything you do is to me. You see, I can't get past it, and it's going to be the thing that eats me up Like, you know, the one issue that eats up a lot of adults?
Like the bacteria that you contracted from your unfiltered water.
Yes. Oh, I was going to say it's like, you know, the issue of trans people to Graham Linehan or Dave Chappelle or whatever. One of those issues that as you become older, you allow to ruin your personality. And for me, it's going to be Andy drinking rainwater, a thing that people have done forever and have been mostly fine, except for their short lives. All right, Andy.
Think Tank finally speaks. The think tank is given the power to speak, yes. But all it can do is scream and wish for death.
Does it have a mouth? Where would the mouth even be?
On the outside or on the inside?
Yeah.
Inside mouth. Like, that's a great idea.
Inside, like this.
Or would it be talking out like that and sort of like it would just be like the hole that you would normally pour liquid in if you were getting a truck, say, to bring in like water that you had to buy? Because you weren't connected to the taps.
Because your water tanks have run out of water.
Yeah.
Yes. I feel like we're being derailed slightly by this water tank angle.
Sorry. I genuinely wasn't. I am trying to get to it, but I'm destroying myself from the inside, Andy.
Think Tank finally speaks. My God. I'm not doing well with this, Alistair.
Finally speaks could be its last. It could still be its last spoke.
Yeah. Finally. It says, that's it.
It's like it's the end. Like, because it could be the, you know, it could be like that. Everybody, it's a relief and it's the end of people's waiting for it to speak. You know, or it could be that it is the end of its speaking. How would, let's say it was just talking about us ending the podcast. What do you think would happen? Could happen.
I think we should go to the idea of, you know, people always say if these walls could talk, right? Somebody should just invent a wall that can talk, right?
Yeah.
And then we won't have to say that shit anymore. Right, so it'll be a wall.
Now that these walls,
I presume,
can talk.
You know, we find a way to do it. We find a way to. They put an ear on the back of a rat. They must be able to put a mouth on a wall. We get walls that can talk, and I don't know if they can also listen and, you know, look as well. And then I guess any room that you go into, it'll just be able to tell you everything that's happened in there. You know, it'll recount it. It'll give you all the juicy stuff, like a trail activate, like a motion activated camera that you might have on your front porch. Now this is a drama activated wall, and if anything saucy is happening in the room, anything exciting, anyone confronting anybody about anything, it'll switch on. Start listening.
I think it actually would
do your eavesdropping.
Hard to steal from somebody's house if their walls could talk. You know, like, because a lot of people put the security into the door lock and stuff like that. But if you could just make door walls that could go, hey, John.
What you got there?
Even as they're walking up to the property, oh, where are you going? At the back, over the back fence. What are you doing there with that crowbar? Who are you?
Yeah. Do you know anyone who lives here?
Do you know somebody who lives here? What's your name? No, what is your name though? Are you? Hey, oh, should I say? Should I yell? Should I be yelling? Do you belong here? Hey, hey man.
Is that a sketch?
Do you want to buy some weed? I don't know if the wall... Because, I mean, do you think if the walls could talk that they would start getting up to stuff?
Because,
like, let's say the wall was... Let's say you just got walls could talk as a security device.
Yeah, but then the guy falls in love with the wall. And it's like... It's like that movie Her, but instead of a artificial intelligence, it's a wall, right?
Yeah.
And then I guess you start dressing up your wall in sexy outfits.
Oh yeah.
What you consider to be sexy?
Yeah, yeah. You just find
like, you know you'd have, a wall you'd start out with a huge rectangle, sheet of cloth.
The sexiest rectangle.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Yeah.
And then you put like a big pair of like lingerie undies that go from one corner to another.
Yeah, sort of, that's hot.
You put the corner through the leg hole, pull it up.
Yeah.
The other corner through the leg hole. You have to do a fair bit of renovating to be able to make that work.
Yeah, I mean, does the guy go like get jealous of all the other walls touching his wall? And so he knocks them down. Destroys all the other walls until it's just that one wall. So he can have it all for himself.
Have it all. All the wall.
All the wall.
All the wall. Yeah, so then he knocks all the walls down. So it's just him and the wall. No shelter. And does he put up a tarp or something like that? Or a tent or anything like that? It's just...
I think, you know, maybe with nothing, with no other walls, what he didn't reckon on is that the wall then falls down.
Right?
Because, you know, it's a metaphor for abusive relationships and how you cut off the connection, their connections to other people in their lives and how that's really destructive.
I like that, AD. That's really good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It'd be good to make a point with this sketch.
Finally. This
I think we could become satire grifters.
Love to do that.
Slingers? Do you think we'd be satire slingers?
Slingers?
Yeah, slingers, like satire slingers.
So you're slinging your satire.
Slinging satire from ear to really ear, good. From eyeball to eyeball. And I'm going to read us through the sketch ideas.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay, we got
Dear
disease
God.
That makes you more kissable. Example, sexy COVID. And then we've got the second one is sex foley. This is a sketch placed in the sex foley industry. Sorry, my wife appeared very briefly and it scared me. Then we have if you withhold kindness and good times from friends, you release. Oh my God.
You realize that they don't actually love you.
You realize
is that what
they
it says?
Aren't. Yeah. Sorry. You realize they aren't your friends.
Mm. See?
Then we've got
True friends.
Oh, when you get cancelled for being a massive prick, you find out who your real friends are. You know? Because
when you're horrible, you're consistently horrible to everybody around you.
You find it.
Well.
Yeah. Apparently, your real friends are people who will just take you being really awful and continue to act nicely towards you, no matter how horrible you are to other people.
That's true friendship.
Mm.
And for them.
And then you have guy who invented tech that allows Bluetooth to connect to the furthest away device.
I'm glad that this character of mine has made it into the show.
Maybe your character of mine, yours, could appear on my new daytime tonight show.
I'm excited about that. I look forward to being interviewed.
There's also the honey rat. And then there's the if these walls could talk security walls and you fall in love with the wall. Andy, what do you think? Should we wrap it? Shall we wrap it?
Let's do it.
All right. Riff. Riff, riff, riff.
Yeah, woof,
riff,
riff,
riff, riff, riff, riff,
riff. Riff,
riff, riff, riff, riff, riff,
riff, riff,
riff, riff, riff, riff,
riff, riff, riff, riff. That's actually made him stop.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't.
No, it didn't. Well, everybody, thank you so much for your patience and for listening to Two in the Think Tank.
For your patience for listening to our show.
And we do enjoy doing it.
We do enjoy doing this show that is unbearable to listen to. I mean, you truly must be pure
saints,
pure saints, pure kind-hearted people. Each one of you a Mother Teresa in your own right.
And we
love you.
You.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.